You're listening to the Free Oromia podcast, dedicated to amplifying the voices of freedom. Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Free Oromia podcast, a podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices of freedom, liberation, and decolonization. I'm your host for today, Jal Maro. If this is your first time tuning in to the Free Oromia podcast, thanks for joining us. Welcome. And if you're a returning listener, we're always happy to have you back. This episode is releasing right before Irecha weekend here where I live in the Washington, D.C. area, as well as in several other cities around the world. I would like to wish you all a happy, safe, and peaceful Irecha. Baga ayane Irecha nagange sani. Glad you made it. As many of you know, Irecha is the major annual holiday by Oromo tradition, and it's one of the largest indigenous festivals in Africa. Every year, Oromos around the world gather during the transition from Oromia's rainy season to Birra, or spring, celebrate the new year, and give thanks to Waka, or God. We here at Team Free Oromia wanted to bring some information to you, our listeners, about Irecha. We asked you on Instagram, by the way, make sure you're following us at Team Free Oromia on all of our social media. We asked you what questions you had about this very important holiday. We hope that in this episode, we've answered most, if not all, of your questions. And maybe even some things that you hadn't even asked. In this episode, you'll largely be learning from a very special guest, Obolube Biru. Obolube has made tremendous contributions to Oromo society, first in Oromia as a student organizer and member of the Mach'atulama Association, and then in the United States, where he was one of the earliest Oromos to form community and civic organizations in the Washington, D.C. area and in the United States in general. Most pertinent to today's topic, and as we will hear directly from him, he is actually responsible for resurrecting the Oromo holidays of Irecha and Guba in the diaspora. You'll also have the pleasure throughout this episode of hearing from my usual brilliant co-host, Jal Ango, as well as a returning guest, the lovely Jal Boni. So listeners, enjoy the episode. And if you learn something new, make sure to take a moment and share the episode and knowledge with a friend or two or more. Without further ado, let's get into it.
My name is Lube Biru. I left my country because of political reason. I came to this country and stayed in this country for 40 years.
My name is Bontu Shamo Galata, and I am from Calgary, Alberta.
My name is Angatu, aka Jal Ango.
A lot of you really wanted to know when and how Irecha began and how it became the holiday it is. Obolube explains for us the origins of Irecha.
Historically, nobody knows when it started. It goes with nature. Oromo live according to the natural environment. We have four times season change. In the month of September, it is the time when farmers change the way of living. Farmers start August or some places June, tilling the land and begin harvesting food all the way for 4 months. This time was winter. And winter in our country makes the river full, impossible to cross. That means it hinders the traveling of family from the other side of the river. Even mother separates from her daughter who married across the street. If she had a baby without her mother being with her, it's very sad for the family, and she has to wait 4 months to see her grandchild. One of the main reasons for this celebration in Recha and Buba was reunion of the family who traveled in different directions. The river, after the winter, during this month, began to go down, down, and down, and it is possible to cross. The students returned to their family. The traders who went far away returned in peace. And the mother or the father, the family, the mother comes first. She's waiting to see her child return in peace and safe. And all other relatives can see each other. Therefore, the daughter can bring her new baby that was born about 3 months ago to the mother. And that is a great happiness for the family.
Here, Obo Lube describes how he, his uncle Sisai Ibsa, and a few other Oromos celebrated the first ever Irecha outside of Oromia.
Irecha began in this country in 1986. This is the first Irecha in the foreign land anywhere in the world. It was organized by a group of Oromo. We got to know each other as the children of Oromia. And finally, we said, we left everything, including our family, but we know something. We carried our knowledge with us here. And why don't we exercise here? Instead of sitting and talking about what we missed, we can revive our culture in foreign land. We start in 1986. Only three or four. One was a late friend of mine, Sisai Ibsa. And we started in the parking lot of my apartment. It's not comfortable, but we started there for 1 year. The second year, 87, I moved to this place where I live. And we have a wide backyard, and it is comfortable. Since then, we continue having every year. Our number increased. The number of Oromo as refugee for different reasons came here, and our number is many. We help each other. Everyone contributes their knowledge. Each one of us, we have something. One person can forget, or one person may know very little, but we put together all this little knowledge and exercise it as the way our family act, why they do, what is the reason. That's how this enriches starts. After that, following the example of this Washington, D.C. and around, enriches started everywhere in Minnesota, Atlanta, California, Philadelphia, and in Europe.
To broaden the perspective on Irecha and the diaspora, I asked Jal Boni and Jal Ango to tell us about Irecha in their communities.
Yeah, so our community has actually like a phenomenal lady that puts it together. Her name is Amarti Wari, and she is a singer, so I'm sure most of the listeners would know who she is. But she lives in Calgary, and every year she pulls in a team together and organizes the Irecha celebration for us. And really, if it wasn't for her, I don't even think this would be an event that we would be able to celebrate. But yeah, she's very tirelessly always just putting such an amazing event together, and people from surrounding cities also come out to celebrate Irecha. So it's It's always a fun event that I definitely look forward to each year.
So to celebrate Irecha, I joined the community in London. The Oromo community there organize Irecha celebrations annually, usually in Finsbury Park, which is a park in the city of London. We gather there at a body of water that is in the park, and perform the Irecha ceremony. And then afterwards, we get together at a venue to have a party where we enjoy Oromo food and music, and perform other traditional Irecha chants.
Irecha is not to stand alone. Before Irecha, we have guba, the fire, like campfire. According to the Oromo, it is the new year. They interpret winter as a dark season. Our parents said guba is a day from the dark they passed to the light. The sky open and clear, and you can see 12 hours the sun shining, the weather is good. You can see all kind of, not only human creature that God creates, come out during this, we call it Biranu Barie. That means the season is now opened for the next months. So one reason is a passing from dark night to light, or year round new to new year. That is where with the fire we celebrate guba or ipsa. Some places they call it ipsa. It is the torch we carry on our hand.
Obo Lube explains where Irecha is celebrated and the significance of the part of the river called Malka.
Irecha always must be celebrated by water, a place where they make resa. Malka means a river, river during winter, nobody can pass it. But even during summer, you can't cross the river from any direction. It has a special place where everybody cross. The person who lives at the edge of the river, he cannot cross it from there. He can't. It's deep. He will drown. So he has to go around the edge of the river until he gets Malka. That's they call it Malka. Always crowded the Malka because people come from different directions to cross that river. We have Malka everywhere after 2 miles, 3 miles, maybe 10 miles at some other places. Or river, continue, a river never dry, like Hawass River, Nile River, Baro River, Ashange River. There are many other rivers in Oromia. All these, they have their own Malka. In each Malka, they have celebration Irecha held in each Malka place. You don't have to tell the address, for nature gives them address for the Malka. They know it. The nearest Malka to them has Irecha. Therefore, anyone, the young for dancing there and the old for celebrating the tradition there and blessing God, they go there. You can see thousands and thousands of people, not only Bishoftu. People think Bishoftu like Mecca, where all Muslims, those who can afford, go to Mecca, Medina, and also Christian, those who go to Jerusalem. It's not like that. There are people who interpret in that way. It was wrong. Irecha held in every Malka. Maybe I myself celebrate in 1 year about 6 or 7 or 8 places because they purposely, they don't do recha only in fixed 1 day. This weekend is celebrate in 2 places, somewhere far away. Someone who like dancing, they go there with the friends, with group of youngsters. They sing song all the way from their home, maybe 2 hours. They don't get tired, just to celebrate there for 3 hours and then return late night. You know, River Hawass has more than 200 places where recha is held. That's why I want to clear to people as Bishoftu is not the only one. But Bishoftu became popular. The street is asphalt, easy to go there for the city people and also for the students. Bishoftu is the educator of Oromo culture for those urban Oromo, not to forget their background. That's where they grab all knowledge by going to Bishoftu.
What does Irecha mean to you, and what does it mean to the Oromo people?
To me, Irecha means an opportunity to reconnect with the Oromo community. It means an opportunity to reconnect with my ancestral practices and traditions. It means an opportunity to enjoy the spirit of Oromuma, and I think it's particularly valuable for those of us who are in the diaspora because it helps us to maintain cohesion in the community and to come together for a purpose of joy and celebration, which I think is so important for us as a people, since we are often in a state of sadness and mourning over the circumstances that our people find themselves in Oromia.
So I think for myself, it's a way for me to connect with my Oromo roots. And I think something that we also have to acknowledge is that it is part of the Wakifana religion. So it's not just, you know, going out and getting together. There is a ritual to it. It's a ritual as a Thanksgiving celebration, which is performed twice a year. So there's two erechas that usually occur, and that's the Erecha Birra, which is the spring Thanksgiving. And then there's also the Erecha Arfasi, which is the autumn Thanksgiving. So the concept of it is to praise God. So Waka is what Oromos believe in, for peace, health, fertility, and abundance with regards to people, livestock, harvest, and the entire Oromo land. And this does stem from the Wakifana religion, which is one of the oldest monotheistic religions indigenous to Africa and obviously to the Oromo people. And interestingly, it also predates the Abrahamic religion in its origin. So that's an important piece I think we do need to acknowledge. And that, you know, Wakifana itself is very much a religion of, you know, believing in a supreme God or a supreme being as a creator. The religion actively promotes peace, reconciliation, love, and harmony. And when you do believe in Waka or God, it's that you are also abiding by the laws of God, that you acknowledge His wisdom as the creator and the source of all lives. So it's almost like a part of the Oromo day-to-day life. So it's a lifestyle. It's not just a religion, but it's the way that Oromos used to live. So I think that's you know, and that's what it comes from. So it's giving thanks as part of our day-to-day lives, and we do that during these two times.
When you go during the night outside, you can see stars shining up above our head. We don't rent stars. It is God gave to us. The sun itself is a God gift. God gave us cloud. God made cloud turn to water. God made water to fall down. That water grows the grass. Oromo, I told you, they like the grass, okay? The livestock like the grass. So God gave them to grow grass for them by sending rain from up above. They bless God for everything they get free. That is the sun, the light, the star. All this is a free gift. The land they stand on is a gift of God. And for everything in the universe made by God, what we can do is thanking God. Then you ask for the future. Give them what they missed. If there is anything they missed, if they don't have a child, they ask God for a child. If they are poor, they ask God for living a better life.
Next, Obolube explains for us the significance of holding flowers and grass during Irecha.
The grass is a fresh that God gave to them. The flower is also fresh. They get it from God. God grew it by making a cloud into water and dropping water.
I asked Obolube to explain Irecha in the context of religion, as we did receive a number of questions related to this topic.
They believe in one God, only one God. There is no between God and a human being. Oromo never opposed to any religion, but the new religion, they create fiction about it. It never happened. For example, they have to create something about Irecha. The Oromos, they go to the river because they believe the river is their God. Never. The river is created by God. And the Oromo did not believe on order. It's not something that's between us and God at all. Order is just wood. You can cut it, you can burn it. But by nature, the Oromo do not want to destroy what was made by God, except, for example, to use it properly, to use it. For example, you can cut wood to use it. That's God's gift. You make it your house. You can use it for fire. Order give shade. If the rain comes, it's like umbrella of the community. When they tired during summer times, they rest under the Oda to protect themselves from the sun. They made a peace under the Oda. They sit under the shade and discuss the problem of the community and solve it there. And also, it's easy to identify Oda. It's a known special tree. They make it a meeting place. And so Oda can be used for the society.
One thing that I would like the world to know is that there's a lot of misconceptions about what a recha is. I think, you know, even if we look at it from the country that we sort of are from and where Oromia is located, a lot of times it's considered, you know, the celebration of another god or an idol or something that we worship, which is not God. That, you know, when you do go to, or when these rituals occur, that they occur for different reasons and other than giving thanks to God. And that is definitely not the case. It is certainly, like Oromos believe in, there's symbolic meanings to everything that Oromos do. So during a recha ritual, it's usually, you know, people will gather at a hilltop or by a riverside or under a shaded tree, which is often the Oda tree. And so there's reason to that. Like there's reasons to that. It's not just for fun that that they would do such things. And, you know, it's so that needs to be, I think, acknowledged. And one thing that I was reading an article not too long ago, and there was a quote by Gada Malba, who was, I would say, like maybe like an elder in the Oromo context. And he says that the Oromo never worshipped false gods or craved statues as substitutes. So that in itself, you know, tells you that Oromos only had belief in one god. So Waka is the only god that they believed in. And these rituals that they would do is only to praise God for peace, health, fertility, you know, and so it, that, yeah, like I think that needs to be clearly noted. And I hope the world will get to know that piece, because it is the way that we live and it's part of who we are. And some of the, yeah, and I think we do take a lot from the Wakifana religion itself, because there are a lot of principles that are in Wakifana, such as Safu and a few other ones that are the laws that we live by, which are provided by Waka.
The values that underlie the practices of Irrecha, values of renewal, of reconciliation, of gratitude, of peace seeking, and of healing. And I think that is so necessary in our world today. All of those things are so necessary in our world today. And all of those things are encompassed by Irrecha. So, you know, I think if all of us across the globe carried more of the spirits of Irrecha, we'd be living in a better world together.
Kani dapat kena nuken nasi, kani berkat kena untuk manuken nasi, kani kabelnya nuken nasi.
What do you want the world to know about Irrecha?
What I want the world to know about Irrecha is that it is one of the largest indigenous traditions to still be practiced in the world today. And I want the world to recognize the immense value in that and the wealth that that brings to humanity, because so many of the world's indigenous practices have been lost for numerous reasons, and primarily because of colonial and imperial influences. And so I think Irecha, having survived such assaults, is an incredible thing. And I think it should be recognized as something that is an incredible heritage, not just for the Oromo Nation, but for Africans and for, like I say, humanity at large.
This concept of indigenous tradition has come up several times in the conversation about Irecha. Jalboni, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because you're always raising awareness about the Oromo people in the context of the indigenous label. Can you share more?
Yeah, I think there is, you know, I think there is like some articles that are there. And for sure, like I think Asafa Jalata is probably one that has touched on it. But I don't think we see ourselves as that. And that's, you know what I mean? Like, and that's where, like, it's like we're recognized as indigenous to the land, but we don't actually, you know, feel that way. And, you know, I think it's like, it's almost like we need to, like, we need to own it and be, you know, confident in that ownership as well.
We received quite a few questions about specific Irecha traditions, like the foods that are typically eaten and the songs and chants and their meanings. So we asked Obolube to guide us through this.
And there are food, especially for the Irecha and the Guba. Okole is a kind of food especially prepared for that day. They eat from that. So my wife, Yeshi Lama, who was with me from the beginning up to today, she prepared everything what is needed. Rafu and Badu and Kinche, very important. This is very important. Even if someone do not like for Irecha, that person must at least taste. If someone is rich enough, he can maybe find some meat, but it's not necessary. We have bunakala, it's a raw coffee, they roast it. It is just a kind of ritual, but it is a ceremony passed through that. Mareo, Mareo, Galadnike siagao ya yaleo. Mareo, mareo, oh yeah, yaleo. When we walk, we said mareo, mareo. One round is one mare. Mareo means one round is coming around. For example, Sifan, the one who is running a marathon. She ran around the stadium. From the spot she started, when she finished the first round, that is Mareo. Mareo means we finished the first round, whether it's bad or not, and we start the new. The new year came. This never end. We are Mareo. The second one we said Araraho. You heard about when we said Ararabde Nararyamalka. We are walking for peace. We are marching for peace. First, we blessed God for what He did for us last Mare, that Mareo. Now we start the new Mareo. For this also, we ask God not to stop giving us what he did before. We thank for that one and ask for more. And some people want more. And therefore, they have a chance there with a group of people and ask God, everybody accept what she wish, what he wish to have it. And at Recha, if there is any problem among the community, if you have disappointed somebody else, someone, maybe you say to each other, you hate that person. But according to the law of Recha and Guba, you have to go and make peace with that man before you go to Recha. Clean yourself. In general, ask friends, if you are disappointed, please forgive me. This is my new year. I want to celebrate new year with a new heart and a new mind. If you know the person whom you have some problem with, just call the name, Mr. So-and-so. I was disappointed to you, but now it's 1 year. One Marie is finished. Therefore, I don't want to open with a bad heart. This is the new Marie. Therefore, please forgive me. You don't have to go in detail who made mistake, who is not. Just say, just forgive me. The peace is not making between Oromo and Oromo also with others or with anybody. Just peace with you. I have no any grudge in my heart. Arara, arara of Demna. We are marching to make peace. God, listen to us. Help us to be successful for our effort to make a peace. That's what Arara means.
A few of you wanted to know, who's allowed to celebrate Recha? Can anyone celebrate?
Yes, yes. This belongs to God. Who am I to stop that person? He is free, but he cannot be leading. They don't go and lead Recha, but they can present themselves. Anybody?
And I'd also like to invite people to join us if they ever get an opportunity. Perhaps one day when we have a free Oromia, you can come and marvel in this incredible tradition with us.
Some people have referred to the celebration of Recha as an act of resistance. Jal Ango, what are your thoughts on this?
Inherently, no. Recha is not an act of resistance. Recha transcends Ethiopia and has existed long before any infringement on the practices of the Oromo people by the Ethiopian Empire. So in that sense, I wouldn't reduce Recha to an act of resistance in and of itself, because it's far, far, far beyond that, far beyond that. But in the current political context in Ethiopia, I think it forms a part of how the Oromo people assert their resistance to the erasure of the Oromo identity. So in our current circumstances, it can perhaps be considered an act of resistance in that we refuse to give up our indigenous and ancestral traditions. And Irecha has certainly been a site of resistance in recent years. I'm sure we all recall the tragedy of the Irecha massacre that took place in 2016, where the Irecha celebrations became enmeshed with the ongoing Oromo protests movement, and you know, the people that had gathered to celebrate Irecha took that opportunity as a community to speak on the suffering that the Oromo people were experiencing, and speak on the difficulty of the political and social climate in Oromia for the Oromo people, and being attacked for it by the Ethiopian state, which tragically led to the deaths of hundreds of people. So Irecha has definitely served as an opportunity for Oromo people to display their resistance to the oppressive Ethiopian state. But like I say, Irecha cannot be contained or defined by the context of Ethiopia. We're bigger than that, baby.
As we wrap up, Obolube gives us some thoughts on how all of these traditions can be preserved and passed down to future generations.
We were dreaming, always we said, who is going to replace us? As we're getting older and older, we passed it to you to continue. Then we watch and see if anything is going little bit outside that culture. We will tell them, no, you have to correct this way, you have to correct this way. That's how the family teach their children. And so we are very glad you and those in your age are very interested now to return to the source and study the source of your background, your family background. You learn by looking and by watching. You just learn it what they are doing. Maybe they use you to send you to bring this one, to bring that one. At the same time, you are as a child, you run here and there. You bring for them all tools that is needed. And at the same time, then you know what tools is needed to perform some kind of a culture or some kind of things. That is the way we learn. When I came here, it was not my intention for that, but Irecha comes, we can hear from home, but we want to. And instead of sitting and worrying about we lost it, we have no any facility in this country, but we can do it. Irecha do not have fixed number to start. Even one person by himself, he can act. But it is better if two, if three, and if many.
Thanks for tuning in to the Free Oromia podcast. Visit our website at freeoromia.org. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Team Free Oromia, and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Team Free Oromia. You can also give us a call on the Free Oromia podcast hotline at 430-755-0727 and leave us a voicemail asking us questions or giving us your feedback. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Nahimi makakhine ya tchisi sefundo fobonto nagama tchisi halkanu galgala najala tchisi tanjolo masan nathaba tchisi oromia.